You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and RadioReverb.com online. Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. Also, information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some other events. Do email us at hivhour@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter at @HIV_hour and Instagram at @HIVHour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again at 4 p.m. on Monday and at noon on Tuesday, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com.
Good evening, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
We've got a full house.
We've got a full bingo card tonight. If anyone plays bingo out there,
we have to say to the listeners that we always say that you're on the you're in the heart beach, but you've got like a beach at the back behind
no,
you.
So just got to keep.
It's very hot anyway.
My backdrop.
Yeah, we've got a very busy show this today, haven't we? So we're going to keep it quite brief.
Yes, a very exciting show. Exactly. Yes.
Mm-hmm. How is everyone?
Been on the beach on the way back from swimming, but yeah.
Yeah. Just hot. Steve. It's very hot, isn't it?
Very hot. Yes.
I've ironed my bikini.
Yeah. We're all sitting in our bikinis at the moment. It's hot.
Yes.
Yes.
So we've got a show today. It's basically about new innovations, really, isn't it? And new things that are coming up from local organisations in Brighton, namely the Marty Fisher Foundation and Terence Higgins Trust. And so we start off with after the song, we've got we went to a talk, didn't we, Sue?
We did about
a new app for PrEP called Emerge,
yeah,
and PrEP to You, which is another innovation. That's run by the Lawson Unit and Marty Fisher Foundation, THT, isn't it? So we're going to have that. We're going to have the interview. We're going to listen to the talk about that, aren't we? And then after that, we've got there's an animation from the Marty Fisher Foundation, which we can play the audio, but we can't, obviously, you have to watch it on YouTube. And then we'll hear about from Gillian Dean and Duncan Churchill, who were part of the team who put it together. And obviously some of our community news at the end.
So we've got lots to get through.
It's like I'm rushing that.
It's exciting, you know, when we get shows we've got, I mean, all our shows are fun packed. When you get a show that it really is fun packed. Can I just very quickly mention something about the animation video? Again, you know, our listeners can get it on YouTube. And I know Gillian and Duncan are going to talk about it. I just checked the hits at the moment. We've got nearly 1,500 hits on it already. So,
wow.
Yeah, so I thought that might be interesting just to say. But, I know we're going to talk about it in a bit more detail.
Wow, that's really amazing, isn't it? Because it's only been going for under a week, isn't it?
Yes.
And then we'll come back with the talk from Daniel and Mark Tweed from the THT about the Emerge app.
Brilliant.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
I think really today is about us celebrating where we've got to in terms of delivering PrEP, and also to be able to continue to have conversations about where we go next in terms of reaching out even further for people who need PrEP and don't have currently have access to it. So I'll just go through briefly the HIV preventions that we've got available to us, which is fantastic. We've got this huge menu of things that we can do. And I started with HIV testing because I really believe this really should be the most important part of our HIV prevention, because testing people, diagnosing people and getting those people onto treatment is the way that we will eliminate HIV transmission. And then, of course, people who are living with HIV, it's really important we engage them in treatment to prevent ongoing transmission. We mustn't forget the importance of condoms and the provision of needle exchange programs, particularly in an age of chemsex, where we still need to on preventing and injecting drug users from acquiring HIV. And then we've got HIV pre-exposure prophylaxis, which I'll describe in a bit more detail in a second, and is the point of today. And then we've got PrEP, which is post-exposure prophylaxis, whereby somebody who has an exposure can then access 28-day course of treatment to prevent HIV transmission. And my dream is that we reduce significantly that PrEP need, and that we have most people who need PrEP onto PrEP in the future. So this is a graph showing the number of new cases of HIV in England over the last 20 years or so. And as you can see, we peaked around 2005, and then we've seen this steady decline up until about 2016, where we've seen a really quite impressive rapid decline in new HIV diagnoses. And this is driven primarily by men who have sex with men via the interventions that I've described to you on the previous slide, particularly around increasing HIV testing and the provision of pre-exposure prophylaxis. However, there are some people who are still being left behind, and we mustn't forget about those people. So if we think about PrEP as an intervention, we know it's really effective, but how effective is it? So early trials in the early 2000s, mainly women and people living in sub-Saharan Africa, showed really poor results about how effective PrEP was. But all of that was driven by poor adherence. The IPREX study, which is a large study across 7 countries, 2,500 men have sex with men and transgender women, showed that overall the availability of PrEP amongst that group showed a reduction in HIV transmission of 44%, which sounds a bit miserable, but then if you looked in more detail at that study and looked at people who took more than 2 to 3 pills, you can see that HIV incidence decreased by 84%. And if you then looked at the study later on, and people who took more than 4 pills within a week, you can see that those people had 100% effect of their HIV PrEP. So HIV PrEP really works in those people who take it. And of course, there is a bit of a gap between people who take it all the time and people who have access to PrEP, which is the line over there. So 86% was the reduction seen in the UK PROUD study and the French and Canadian IPAGAY study. So the gap is because people may come along initially to start some PrEP and be living with HIV and then never come back, or people who start PrEP and then never actually engage in regular PrEP appointments and access to their PrEP. And so we need to think about those people as well. So on Friday last week, I pulled some data off our clinic database because I was interested to show you how many people we've got on PrEP at the moment. And actually, I'm a bit surprised. I'm really pleased with the results. So we see around 8,000 to 10,000 attendances in our clinical services by gay men and transgender women per year. And if you break that down into individuals, we see about 2,000 individuals. So last financial year, we saw 1,988 individual MSM and transgender people. And fantastically, we've got 88% of them on PrEP, of which 65% of them were new to PrEP on that attendance. And I think that's great. It shows that our current services are really working and we're able to get people on PrEP. Who are these 238 people who are not using PrEP? I'm not 100% sure. I think a lot of them are probably people who are living with HIV already, who are attending STI services. Some of them will be people who don't want or don't need PrEP. And some of them are people that we need to work on a bit harder about their understanding their own risks for HIV. But I think these results are great at the moment. The problem, of course, that seeing these people every 3 months in our clinical services massively increases the footfall in our clinics. So our clinics will slowly ground to a halt because we can't physically see that many people all of the time. So, if we think about people coming for PrEP, they come every 3 months, they have a sexual health screen, they get their prescription, they have an assessment of renal function, or their medical issues around PrEP, and then we see them again 3 months later. So this is a regular cycle for people using PrEP. So what we designed in our PrEP Emerge team was a digital health pathway, where we saw people, instead of 4 times a year, we saw them twice a year. And on the alternate visit, instead of coming to a face-to-face appointment, they had a postal sexual health screen. So that meant that in their face-to-face visit, we gave them 6 months of PrEP, but we continue to do the 3-monthly STI testing by using the Postal Service. Within this, we embedded a mobile phone application to support this pathway. And that's why we're here today, to talk about our Prep Emerge. So the Emerge app was developed in 2015 following a grant put together by my colleagues, Martin Fisher and Jenny Wetton, using a Horizon 2020 EU grant. And within using a co-designed strategy, using patients all the way through the design of this app, they came up with this product, which is pretty simple. It's got access to patients' results, their vaccination history, there's a reminder and a calendar on there for people to remind people to take their PrEP. And there's also access to their appointments. So it's a pretty simple app, but it really engages patients into their PrEP and their medical care. We did some preliminary evaluation when we started using the PrEP app last summer, and this was 81 users. And we used 3 different metrics when we were doing our evaluation. We used something called a system usability score, or a SUS, which is here, and this generates a numerical value which equates to the usability of the product. And I put on here some other scores that you get using this metric. So for example, the Word document will score about 75, and the monitor will score 80, the iPhone scores 78 as well. So that just gives you an example of what this score means, and our PrEP app scored 78 on the SUS score. So we were really delighted with that. We didn't show any difference in SUS scores, whether people were new users for PrEP or old users, whether people were using PrEP daily or whether we're using it on an on-demand strategy. We also asked them whether they would recommend the PrEP app to a friend, and 90% of them said yes, they would. And we also asked them to overall rate their experience of the PrEP app, and 98% of them said they were really pleased with the app. So we've now got loads and loads of people on PrEP in this city, and we're able to show that people that the current services are acceptable and the app is acceptable, but we're still left with a small group of people who we struggle to reach out to. Hidden, quiet people who don't necessarily support the services. And this is seen all over the world. And they often belong to racially minoritised communities, they're often engaged in recreational drug use, they can maybe hidden MSM. By that I mean maybe heterosexually identifying men who have sex with men who don't necessarily come forward to clinical services designed for men who have sex with men. Digital health pathways don't exclude these people, because that's the problem with digital health, that it can potentially make the digital divide broader for some people. There are lots of innovative ways globally where PrEP has been delivered using non-clinical settings, such as pharmacy-led PrEP, nurse-led PrEP in the USA, peer-led PrEP in Thailand, sex worker-led PrEP in India, and transgender-led PrEP in Thailand. So it's been done in other parts of the world, both in low-income and high-income settings. So we have therefore thought about this a bit more, and what we wanted to do is design a model where we can deliver PrEP to non-classical, non-clinical settings, and that's where we came up with PrEP2U.
Yeah, so as we've been talking today, basically we're aware that PrEP has sort of disproportionately gone out to kind of gay and bi men, predominantly as part of the research trials, and there are kind of communities that have been left behind. And we've got really good evidence base, particularly from like the national programme work that we've done at THT, but some communities have very, very low awareness of PrEP. Amongst gay men, like a recent piece of analysis we did suggests that up to 95% of gay and bi men know what PrEP is or have heard of PrEP, whereas like Black African heterosexuals, less than 50%. So you're not going to see good uptake amongst, you know, Black heterosexuals when they don't even know what PrEP is and have never heard of it. So clearly there's some really basic groundwork to be done, and that's something that colleagues on our National Prevention Programme are working on. So we decided that we would do some promotional work in partnership with Shaq, partly because we have the Emerge app, came live last year around April, and also because PrEP became available on the NHS. So there were two things to mark, and this is what we wanted to kind of roll it out and make sure that the communities that were most affected, but also those kind of more silent communities, were had some messaging to pick up on that. So this is the campaign objective. So this was based on a previous national campaign that was part of the HIV Prevention England campaign called PrEP Protect. So we had a really good evidence base, and it was like extensively focused, tested across a variety of groups. So we wanted to sort of base it on that, because we knew it was effective. So the first thing we wanted people to know is obviously that PrEP exists, that they know what it is, and they know what that means. And also, how do I get PrEP? So for people who might have heard of it or were a bit ambivalent about it, how do I go about getting PrEP, and to get them to sort of seek that out and look for it. So the two main groups, obviously, that are disproportionately affected by HIV, again, by men and Black African heterosexuals. So they remained in the campaign as our core audience, but also we have that kind of more marginalised and seldom seen groups that we're trying to reach out to. And the three key outcomes that we were looking for was know about PrEP, so know it's effective, know that HIV negative people like me take it, PrEP is available for free for people who need it from sexual health clinics in my area. And to think about PrEP, PrEP puts me in control, it's discreet, I don't have to rely on my partner's decision to protect myself, and do take action. Go out and source PrEP. Listen.
97.2 FM.
Radio Reverb. If you've just tuned in, this is the HIVR on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area, and you can get us online and on our famous podcast.
So what do you think of the Emerge thing for PrEP? Because I know there is Emerge app for HIV, which I've got, and I think you have, David.
Yes, I use it for my ARVs, but not for PrEP. So it's exciting to see that it's being used for other purposes.
Yeah, and when you... I hadn't heard of it either, so it's it was something that was kind of new to me, so it's been interesting to hear about it.
I think a lot of people don't know about it as well. And you said in the talk, weren't you, too, about how can women access PrEP?
And that's because obviously, I mean, I've always been an advocate for women accessing things anyway, but obviously, and they expected me to pop up and say something anyway, because I always do. But, you know, I mean, one of my questions was, you know, what happens if a woman presents who is not in the group of people they say that can access under this system? And they said that they'd never turn anyone away directly. So, you know, that's all they could say at the moment. So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. I mean, and they have the Ten Seconds Trust to a, I think it's called PrEP to You, and an evening, don't they, where you can go and talk to someone if you want to go on PrEP. Mm-hmm. And that's on a Thursday evening between 4:30 and 7, I think.
Yeah, that's at 61 Ship Street, isn't it, Josh, in Brighton, where you can those evenings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you can walk in or you can ring up and book 0123 764 200.
Yeah.
So it's another way of talking about PrEP if you're interested.
Yeah, definitely.
So. Mm-hmm. So now we've got the animation we talked about earlier from the Marty Fisher Foundation. So we'll listen to the audio of it. So I have to apologise for the sound of the interview a little bit, because I interviewed Gillian and Duncan at the Lawson unit, so there's quite a lot of bang going on, and I've tried to reduce it. So so apologies for that, but it's a good interview. Mm-hmm. So shall we have a listen?
Yes,
please do.
Absolutely.
COVID isn't the first pandemic to cause mass panic around the world. Back in the 1980s, there was a lot of fear around HIV and AIDS, and for good reason. People were dying. Nobody knew why, and it was seriously getting in the way of people's sex lives. Well, what if I told you that we've beaten it? That thanks to massive advances in modern medicine, AIDS, at least in the UK, is over. If we want it to be. Right now, an HIV-positive person who's taking their medication can live their full lifespan entirely without fear of ever developing AIDS or passing HIV on to anyone else, no matter what they do together. That's right. As long as they are taking their meds, it's 100% impossible for them to pass it on. Not to their boyfriend, their girlfriend, dentist, doctor, or tattoo artist. No, not even an unborn child. In fact, the only people spreading HIV right now are people like you. Yes, you, people who've had sex but not had a test. There are thousands of undiagnosed cases in the UK right now. But if we all got a test, we could end the spread of HIV in Britain this year. It's easy to do. In fact, it's no more hassle than a lateral flow. And there are tests that can give you a result in minutes. If you are one of those thousands, you'll have saved yourself from developing symptoms and from passing it on to the people you love. Or that you just really, really like. There's so much bad news in the world. Wouldn't it be great to share some good news? So let's all shout it from the rooftops. HIV is easy to test, easy to treat, and impossible to pass on when managed properly. Let's do something good. Let's get regularly tested and start getting positive about HIV. To order a free HIV test, or to find out more about HIV treatment and preventative medications like PrEP, visit the website today.
So we've just listened to the audio of the new animation from the Martin Fisher Foundation. I'm with Gillian Dean and Duncan Churchill from the Lawson Union and the Martin Fisher Foundation. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Could you just tell our listeners what your job is here?
Yeah, so I'm a consultant HIV and sexual health physician. I'm also a trustee of the Martin Fisher Foundation.
Duncan?
And I'm also a consultant in HIV and sexual health, working at the Lawson Union.
Great. Well, thank you for coming on, and what an amazing animation film. I mean, the listeners have just heard the audio of it, so how did the idea come about? Can you tell us?
Well, about this time last year, actually, wasn't it? We were looking at creating some Fast Track City pages on the Brighton and Hove City Council website, yeah. Because we are a Fast Track City. We were the first Fast Track City in the UK in 2017. And we wanted a landing page so if people searched, then they could find out a bit more about it. So we were looking at all the content and really wanted everyone at Brighton and Hove to understand that if people know their status and they had taken an HIV test and then they start treatment that's effective, then their viral load will become undetectable and they can't pass that on to anybody else.
Yeah.
Or if they're negative and at any kind of risk, a significant risk, then they can take a tablet a day to protect themselves. So, but that's quite a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Duncan actually had the brilliant idea of, because we can't say that message to 275,000 people or however many there are in Brighton and Hove, that we should have an animation. Over to you, Duncan.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a question of whether you can distill your message down into, you know, a conversation you can have with a stranger in a lift or a taxi driver or something like that. And it's quite hard, as you know, you've just heard, to get that all down into, you know, one short sentence. There's too much. So I certainly respond to things visually or in stories, and I think that that's a good way to get a message like this across.
Yeah.
And so we started in the discussion about, you know, just drawing things out, and then that led to the idea of an animation. And then Jill went off and wrote a grant, got some money, contacted an animation company, and the next thing that happened, we were having a meeting about what the script would look like.
Yeah. It did happen very quickly, actually, didn't it?
It did.
We just happened to hit the grant application time at the right time.
Yeah.
And then there's the Creative Connections Animation Studios I didn't actually know about, but the animation that I remember more than any other was when the NHS reforms in 2013 were explained by the King's Fund. And they did they were very complex changes, and then the King's Fund did this animation. Mm. Well, the King's Fund did the animation. In fact, it was Creative Connections Animation Studio, so if you go to the credits right at the end, I sort of found the name and emailed them. And, you know, as I said to you the other night, Josh, you know, this was the perfect project, this project. These people were so nice and so helpful, and the whole process was just brilliant.
Yeah. Is it correct they didn't know anything about HIV?
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, this animation is for people who don't know anything about HIV.
Yeah.
So to have them as a basis for the whole process and as a sounding board for us as people who are almost, you know, I think we're so involved in it that sometimes the messages that need to get out there, possibly we just take for granted.
Yeah. I mean, it is a very powerful animation film, isn't it? I mean, the wording is very direct.
Yeah, and I think it was really helpful that they had done this before many times with different subjects, often related to health. So the way it was developed is that we had discussion, you know, a meeting on the computer, in which we talked about what the messages were, and they went away and developed a draft script, and we then spent a lot of time working on the scripts before any animation started, because, you know, you've got to get the words right, the message right, and then you can put those sort of, you know, the pictures in later, because you don't want to go back and add things in or take things out or edit stuff, you know, once you've already started making the animation, because that's much more complicated. And they clearly had been through this process many times before, and we have not.
Yeah.
So there were lots of meetings, revisions to the scripts. There were focus groups, and the focus groups included, obviously, the people who worked in the animation who didn't know very much about HIV. There was a group of people who were living with HIV who also fed into the process. There were, you know, a number of staff here, as well as Jill and I, and there were also people who were HIV negative and who didn't really know about HIV, which is obviously really the most important group, because, you know, that's our target.
That's who you're targeting. Yeah, I was going to ask you who you're targeting.
That's actually, we worked with THT on that. So yeah. THT were able to, so Mark Tweed as well, the centre manager at the Brighton branch, they were really helpful. They have a whole pool of the general public that they run things by or consult with. So they were able to bring a group of about 10 to 12 people together. And then Dan Caswell from Creative Connections was part of that. And we just bounced things around and found out what their general knowledge was and what kind of language they'd want to hear.
Yeah.
So, you know, those sort of ideas were set in stone at quite an early stage. And as we've talked about, you know, some of the language like spreading HIV, we personally as HIV physicians and clinicians and specialists and the field of HIV feel very uncomfortable with words like that. But in fact, it's not for us, you know, it's for the general public, and that's what that's the language they use. So whilst we don't want to encourage that kind of usage of language, it's what makes people listen and makes people identify with our message.
Yeah, I mean, you have to do that, don't you, to get people looking and being interested and not.
Yeah.
Like, you had Nathaniel J. Hall is the narrator who was in It's a Sin.
Yeah.
And when It's a Sin came out, it was very powerful, wasn't it, and very impactful for people. So then people, as that wanes off, does that mean that you have to keep that momentum going, because people get the consciousness goes out of the consciousness?
I think that's definitely true. I mean, we know that when It's a Sin was released and it was on, you know, and people started watching it, there was certainly a big spike in HIV testing, and there was, you know, there was lots more talk about HIV on social media, and just in general, people were talking about HIV in a way that they hadn't been beforehand. So that was, you know, that was great. And I'm sure that there were, as a result of that, there were probably a lot of people with undiagnosed HIV who had a test and found out that they are positive and are on treatment. But the effect of that is tends to be relatively short-lived. I mean, and I can think of a number of other, you know, examples where there have been, you know, there's been a media story about somebody who's a celebrity who's diagnosed with HIV and you know, goes on a chat show and talks about their status, and that's followed by, you know, several 100% increase in calls to Terence Higgins Trust, people coming for testing, that sort of thing. But then it ends, you know, it lasts for a few weeks, and then people revert back to their behaviour.
Shows you it works, though, doesn't it? These things do work if you keep.
Yeah, so I mean, I think what we wanted to get across in the animation was, obviously, we hope that we have that kind of effect in the short term. Yeah. But what we really want is to get across the idea that actually this is a problem with a solution. You know, it's not like we will, you know, we'll all live the rest of our lives and there will constantly be new people, you know, testing positive for HIV. But if we just apply all that we know, use the tools that we have at present, then the number of people with undiagnosed HIV will continue to shrink, and transmission of HIV from one person to another effectively can end in this country and elsewhere where all these things are available.
Yeah.
You know, it's really possible, and I truly believe that, you know, that by the end of this decade, I'm not saying there will be zero, you know, new HIV infections in the UK, but that we will, you know, we will have reduced the number of new infections to very low levels by then, unless we get something really badly wrong in the next 8 years.
Yeah, it's amazing what's happening with HIV medications and progressions, isn't it?
It is.
These things just add to it as well. So
you've lived through more of the epidemic than I have, but you know, we've lived
almost.
I almost feel like, you know, it's sort of start to finish. You know, we've started this and we finish it. And how often do you get to do that across your career?
Yeah.
And we're seeing it now. You know, we're seeing the number of new cases dropping and dropping. You know, we used to have a new patient clinic every week. Well, we don't anymore because, you know, we can fit the new diagnoses into our normal services because there's so few of them.
Yeah.
So we're actually seeing it with our own eyes.
Which is brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's actually, you know, people might have an idea about, you know, what it's like, if they've never had a test before, what it's like to go and have an HIV test, you know, and that might come from, I don't know, films or documentaries from decades ago when it was a totally different experience, and also the you know, what it meant to be testing positive in the 1980s as opposed to now was totally different. So it's actually quite, you know, it's kind of light-hearted in a way, because it's easy to do, and there's also so many different ways to test. You don't even have to go to a clinic anymore. You can just order a test and it comes through the post and do it yourself. People are used to that. Because, you know, for the last 2 years, people have all been testing themselves for COVID.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing. It's on the video, isn't it? So it says it starts that with the
lateral
flow.
It's no more difficult than a lateral flow.
Yeah.
To test yourself at home.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, something really important that I wanted to draw out was the artist, Rosie Hunter. So she was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And there's so many details in there. So when it's all based on a newspaper article for when people actually see it, and, you know, newspapers as they were in the 1980s. But it's not just about that. If you look around, there's a Rubik's Cube and, you know, other things from the 80s.
Yeah.
A what?
There's a Walkman.
A Walkman, that's right. Yeah, and then it sort of flashes then back to now and, you know, the things around it. And if you, I must have watched it 20 times and I'm still seeing things that are...
Yeah, you didn't have music there, did you?
No, I didn't have music there. And then there's one bit where they say, you know, no matter what they do together, and the guy on the sofa gives a little wink, and I only spotted that about, you know, on number 19.
So you have to watch it a few, because I've watched it a few times, and you do see things differently every time. So that's a good thing, isn't it? How can people see the video?
They can access it through...
Share it, actually.
Yeah, the sharing is really important. Yes, so, you know, if anybody's got any ideas about how to get this out to every single member of the public in the UK, but, I mean, in Brighton and Hove would be a good start for us. Then that would be great, and please get in touch. So if you go on our website, themartinfisherfoundation.org, you'll see the film link on the homepage.
Yeah.
And there's also all the contact details of how to get in touch and how to get involved, and it's really exciting, and please do.
Definitely. And if you watch the animation, you like it, it fires you up then, and you're on Twitter or Facebook, then share it with your friends, get them to do the same.
It didn't take long just to press that
share
button, does it?
That's right. And we're hoping, you know, we've got various contacts, we're hoping to get it into secondary schools, we're hoping to get into PHSE sessions, you know, Positive Voices are going to take it into schools locally and in the cities that you're working in at the moment. So it's happy days.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show. Please share it and watch it, and yes, thank you.
This is the world of Radio Reverb.
So, welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM in the Brighton area. And don't forget our wonderful and world-famous podcasts.
Fabulous. Yeah, so what do you think? I mean, what have you had any thoughts from people who've seen the animation?
I've got to be honest. I mean, I personally love it, and I know exactly why it's being produced, and it was a long time in the making, and it wasn't just, oh yeah, we'll get a couple of people together and say what they think, and this is people living with HIV. A lot of research has gone into it, and there's a motive for doing it. But, you know, some of my positive friends are not liking it for various reasons, because they're using the same age, you know, the same age as over, they don't like some of the terminology, but they understand where it's going. You know, I've spoken to a lot of, I actually showed this video out to a year group of students in Shoreham by Sea yesterday, and that was 250 students watched this video. So, and I explained that, you know, when in a part of the video where it says, you know, the only people, and you can see this pointed finger, the only people that are spreading HIV are you. And then he very quickly goes on to, you are people who are having unprotected sex and not getting tested. So that they're really trying to target an audience, and we all know what that audience is. But yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So. Yeah, you are. What about your thoughts, David, Steve?
I think pointing the finger is a bit sort of in your face, isn't it? But I think you have to be not shocking, but you have to be direct with people. You try and beat around the bush. Mm. You know, you're being vague in your messaging. So, and it's obviously targeted to a particular sort of group of people. People that don't get tested, they're not taking responsibility for their health. You know, if they do happen to be living with HIV, there's damage being done to them unknowingly, and they could be passing it on. So really, we have to reach people who aren't testing regularly, and that's what the video is aimed at, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And if we want to get to that goal at 2030, you know, then we need to make it clear, don't we? We need to, you know, make it clear that, you know, who it's aimed at and where it's aimed at. So
I think there's no one size fits all, is there, with sort of messaging, isn't there? So you've got to have different approaches for different communities.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what were you saying earlier, Sue, about you had 1,000 hits. So that's a lot, isn't it?
I checked before we came on the show, and it was just under 1,500 earrings, as one would say. Is that when the click?
Yeah.
I'm not. You're probably more into this than me, Stephen. How things like that work. But so and that's within a few days or whenever. So that is pretty good. But I thought the narrator Nathaniel Hall did a really good job. Talking through it, and those of you who are not aware of Nathaniel Hall, he's actually, you've interviewed him on the show before, haven't you, Stephen? So
I have, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So yeah, so he was in that amazing programme on Channel 4, It's a Sin. So he's done quite a bit of work with various charities since It's a Sin. So yeah.
Yeah. So watch it and share it if you can count. That'd be great. So we've got, I did a bit of Doctors of Community News now because it's busy weekends this weekend. It starts tonight.
Very busy.
I know. It's the heat. Things everyone else. So I did a little interview with Graham, who's the chair bear of the Brighton Bear Weekend, who've been having weekends for the last 12 years. So that starts tonight. So shall we have a little listen and see what's going on this weekend with them?
Yeah. Sounds good.
Some community news. It's very important weekend coming up this week. It starts tonight. With me is Graham, who is the chair bear of the famous Brighton Bear Weekend.
Thank you for inviting me on.
Yeah, how are you doing?
It's a Thursday, and the weekend actually starts on a Thursday, which I know sounds a bit odd, but so I'm in kind of slight state of panic and slight state of excitement.
Yeah, so it all kicks off tonight, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're at the quiz tonight at the Camelford. So there's still time for you to get there.
Yeah,
it's very good to go there for food. And enjoy the quiz afterwards. It's £2 a head, and the money goes to the Bryson Rainbow Fund. And there's a big raffle as well. So
also lots of prizes. And,
lots of prizes to be run. It's only £1 a ticket for the raffle.
And that's the Camelford Arms.
The Camelford Arms and Camelford Street.
Yeah. So obviously because of COVID, everything was dulled down a little bit, wasn't it? So is this the first year it's back to full strength?
We've been quite good over COVID in that we've done things online. In the year 2020. Last year, 2021, we was actually the first week out of the COVID restrictions in July, and it's a beautiful sunny weekend. Ooh, so it's our best weekend, but we didn't have any club events, which was a bit annoying, but this year we do have club events back again.
Yeah, so what's going on over the weekend? Can you let our listeners know some of the events?
Yeah, so we also have the quiz night I mentioned already, but on the Friday, we start taking over Dorset Gardens. We have our Mr. Brighton Bear competition there, compared by Lola Lasagna.
Yeah.
It's sponsored by Bear 107. They're giving huge amounts of prizes, but they also have a stall there on the Saturday at the garden party, where you can go and buy our merchandising, which you can get on their website, bear107.com. But you can actually buy in person there. If you buy in person in the park on the Saturday, you can get a discount with your wristbands.
Okay, that's good.
Which I'm sure I've mentioned.
Don't mention it again.
And also the park on Saturday in Dorset Gardens, there is Lunch Positive who are providing food. Very good. And they worked especially hard for people with HIV. Over COVID, doing deliveries for people who are finding it difficult to get food, and also still running the food bank and doing their regular Friday lunches.
Yeah.
So please come along. Don't bring picnics. Just buy drinks at our bar and buy food from Lunch Positive. You know it's doing good. And also, with all of those, there is Brighton Gin also sponsoring the garden party on the Saturday afternoon.
Good. Oh, that's good.
Which is even more reason why not to bring any drink with you.
Yes, yes.
We've got about 40 different community vendors there, stage for the local talent, and then we also announced the winners of Mr. Brighton Bear there.
There's been quite a few contestants this year, hasn't it?
Then you've got six contestants, the Sexy Six.
The Sexy Six.
You can vote from online now at brightonbearweekend.com,
okay.
But you can also vote from again on the park on the Friday.
Okay, that's good to hear.
And then after the park, we have Berioki, which is centre stage. And then on a Saturday night, we're very pleased and excited to announce that we've got a club event.
Oh, ooh, what's that?
At Rialto Theatre. We have some stunning local DJ talents, namely Rob C and there's someone called Josh that you might have heard of somewhere.
Oh, yeah, he's all right. Yeah.
And Neil Bozzy Bear. So that'd be fantastic. That's buy tickets for that. The tickets are selling out quite quickly. And last year, they did, not last year, the last time we did it,
yeah.
I always get confused by that.
Yeah,
last time we did it in 2019, seems so long ago now.
Yeah.
The people had to queue up on the door to get in when we even first opened. People were queuing up half an hour beforehand.
So get your tickets.
Get your tickets online. Yeah. Again, it's the website, brightonbearweekend.com.
Yeah.
And then on the Sunday, when everyone's recovered, we have Sunday Racing Central Station. Then we probably have one of the best drag queens in the country, I think, Dame Edna Experience.
Oh, brilliant. That's centre stage, is it?
That's centre stage. That's after the Sunday race. And then we actually have something rather special. We have Ben Zook, who is from Where the Bears Are, which is a TV series, and it's on YouTube. You can look where it is. Him and some of the cast are coming over from America, flying over from America to do a one-off show for us at the Ironworks studio.
Oh, fabulous.
And if that wasn't enough for you...
There's more.
There's the actual closing party for Under Bears, where we have a lovely, lovely DJ called Josh. I wonder if he's the same one.
So I'm going to be busy that weekend.
And Under Bears, it's our first time at Curzon, and we have a capacity of 280 people. Again, tickets are selling well for that.
Yeah.
And it's for men who want to enjoy the night.
Yes. It's a great venue, actually, the Curzon, isn't it?
So. It's a bit of a labyrinth, but it's very good because you've got lots of small areas, so you can kind of change it around.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to being there.
Do you need a wristband this year?
Wristbands help get you discounts, get you discounts in various bars, like 10% off, but even bigger discounts at our garden party.
Yeah.
They are £7. They're available at any of our events, but also available online beforehand, so it's probably better to do that. And you could pick them up at the garden party or at the welcome party in Dorset Gardens on the Friday night.
Right.
And all the money goes to the Brighton Rainbow Fund.
Which is always a good organisation, isn't it? It's amazing.
Yes, they do lots of work. They give out grants to local LGBT charities. I'm sure everyone knows about this already.
It's good to remind people.
Yeah, it's good to remind it.
Yeah.
Everybody's a volunteer, including myself. But not only that, but all the bar staff, all the DJs, all the drag queens, all the tech staff are all working free of charge to make sure that more money goes towards good causes.
Yeah, absolutely. More amazing. And how many years is it now, Graham?
We're in the 12th year.
12th year. Congratulations.
So it's always a bit kind of like, oh, how did we get here?
Oh, you have hard work and you know.
It's not me. There's a whole big team of people behind me. We have a full committee who work very hard.
Yeah.
And we also have a team of volunteers who work the whole weekend.
Yeah.
So it's, yes, I'm just kind of the spokesperson.
Why not?
And why not? One is needed.
Well, thank you very much. I hope it goes well tonight and for the rest of the weekend. I will see you at the weekend.
I hope so.
Oh, you will see.
You better be.
I'm getting my records ready as we speak. Thanks, Graham. And,
thank you again for having me.
And no worries. See you soon.
And everybody out there, have a great Brighton Bear weekend.
Yes. Thanks again.
Thanks again. Just a bit of a break from the norm. Radio Reverb
97.2 FM. So the Bear Weekend is in full flow. It starts tonight, but you've also got Trans Pride this weekend, so it's going to be busy.
Because it's going to be a busy weekend. You've got the details, haven't you, Stephen?
Yes. Trans Pride Saturday the 16th. The march starts at 11:30. Starts at Jubilee Square for a 12 noon sharp set off. So that's marching in solidarity with our trans brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Yes. Fabulous. And there's lots of things on, isn't there? There's different events like the Bear Weekend. So it's going to be a busy weekend, darling.
Yeah, and wonderful weather. Everybody's going to be at. It's going to be ferociously busy and wonderful and lovely and hot.
Yes.
Yeah, put your sunblock on.
Yes, and your caps and that, your hats. Yeah.
Caps and your hats.
Pre-cat song. Anyway, what an amazing show.
What an amazing show.
Yeah, so quick.
Lots of stuff. Yep.
Well, it's really great to see new innovations, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's good to. It's really good.
Can I just quickly say, when I was at the school yesterday, because I always sort of brag on about how wonderful and cosmopolitan Brighton is, and one student said to me, "What does cosmopolitan mean?" And I was stuck in the tracks for a second because I just assume that everybody knows what it is, you know. And after explaining it, you know what cosmopolitan is, it's such a diverse city. And innovative things like, you know, we're the first city in the UK that has got a vending machine for HIV test kits. So that's just, you know, we're at the forefront of change, and everyone loves to come to Brighton. People move into Brighton and try and get into Brighton. So, it was just quite amusing how the students said, well, what is that? What are you talking about? What does that mean? You know,
Yes, it's an amazing city. So thanks for listening. We're here next week as well, aren't we? We've got a couple of shows with lots of stuff coming on. So we'll be back next week.
Wonderful.
Night, everyone.
Yeah, we'll see you.
Bye.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.